great time to be a Packers fan.
And we are ready to talk some Packers.
From remote locations across New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to a very special off-season edition of Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Negler, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from my apartment and the Cheesehead TV podcast room in Midtown Manhattan, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we'll take a look at the developments over the course of an unusual Packers offseason. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good, we got
lots of new Packers players.
We got the bad, we got
fans rushing to judgment after the draft.
They're good at that. We got the ugly, we got
the uncertainty, the soul-crushing uncertainty. Is there going to be a season? Will fans be in the stands? Will there be a training camp? I hate it, Banky. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Packer transplants. Is this really happening?
Packer transplants is back, baby!
Can't believe it. Is what's
I
happening
can't
right
it
now?
Either.
All right.
I don't know. What is going on? Hello to everybody in the comments section. Good to see everybody.
What's up? We just launched our merch. We finally launched.
Merch is in the house.
We've been working on that merch for like a good month and a half. I've refused to release it until like about 30 minutes ago on our shelf. So you can see on our shelf below the every video now. Every video. You'd be like, where's your merch? Underneath YouTube. So we're going to do an unboxing of our merch at some time. That's going to be fun. We're going to buy all of our stuff. Well, not all of it, but a lot of it.
At least one of everything.
So Corey can have it.
Oh,
maybe.
Great. Oh, Banky. All right, you ready for some Packers news?
Yes. I don't have a J.K. Scott jersey.
I feel your excitement. All right, first up, no joint practices with the Browns this summer. That, of course, had been put in place long before COVID-19 took over our world. The NFL, Roger Goodell, putting out a memo, I believe, last night, stating that teams will have to attend training camp. So there should be training camps, but they have to be done at their own facility. All joint practices across the league have been canceled. So no week of speculation about will the Packers trade for OBJ this summer. I'm sorry. I know we were all looking forward to that. Next up, we have Lambeau Field and Titletown remain closed to the public, although some staff members at 1265 Lombardi have returned. Obviously, coaches and players have not, but those areas remain closed, as does Shea Banky. But Corey, when are you heading back to Green Bay? Anytime soon?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows nothing, Nagler. The only reason that they're dragging us around with this NFL news is because they don't want to cancel their broadcast contracts. That's literally the only reason.
See, you know, people talk about you not being smart, but you're pretty smart. You're a pretty smart guy. You kind of get it.
I don't know when I'm going to be back, but I know that it's not going to be in the next month.
No. That's the next piece of news. Teams won't be back until training camp. There have been speculation, rumors, reports, etc., that possibly they could fit in a mini camp next month in June, but that memo from Roger Goodell pretty much squashed that. Teams will not be back. However, some players, injured players, guys who are rehabbing, will be in the facility, but for the most part, coaches, players won't be hitting the field until training camp. We'll see whenever the hell that is. Do you hear about this, Corey? I don't know, this little piece of news that, you know, slipped in over the offseason. I know you don't, like, religiously follow the minutiae, as you like to call it, but the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers heir apparent.
I was there when it happened, Nagler.
I'm just making sure that you
Nagler,
remember.
Do you even remember the draft? You know, you like to push this narrative.
Okay. Here it is.
Why in the heck?
It didn't take long, people.
Why would I buy a house outside of Lambeau if I wasn't a football fan? That makes no sense, okay? What
I didn't say.
Some people cannot make the distinction between the minutiae of the practice squad versus actual starters, okay, Nagler?
Right.
Now, here's the thing.
I feel you.
You actually cut me off when we got Jordan Love. You cut me off before we got that pick. So I remember it very well. I'll never forget it, okay? My favorite – okay, speaking of the draft, and that's the last time I've been on this channel. The speaking of the draft, okay, it was so much fun. Like that was like – that was like the most fun that I've had in a while. In a while, it's been a minute.
Same.
Like
that
getting
was a
Corey Linsley on, David Bakhtiari.
The whole night was great. Charlie Behrens,
Will
before,
Blackman,
Emery coming by.
Yeah, it was
DJ
amazing.
DJ Lang stopping by. All of our contributors on the chat. That was great.
The best part about it was when I got to mute you. That was literally my favorite part. My second favorite part was when I got to just mute. Like my favorite part of Zoom. Yeah, my favorite part of Zoom is when you push mute all. Like, everybody's talking, and then, like, they were annoying David Bakhtiari, and I was like, yeah, we can't have this. We can't have this. Mute all. And then people got mad. I was like, bro, this is my Zoom.
Dude, I had a few Patreon members who were really upset.
Corey muted me. It's like, really?
Corey is a dictator.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, that's
what
why.
What you sign up for.
Yeah, no, definitely. But
nice
that was
dog
fun.
Is barking. I hear you, Brandy.
That was
good stuff.
That was fun. Everybody, I haven't seen a lot of annoyance about the new intro. I saw some people being like, I can't wait till the intro, and then it started, and people were probably like, what the hell is this? But
see,
it's
a new intro.
Change comes to us all, Nagler.
Change is good.
It is.
That's what I hear, including to the Packers with an heir apparent for Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
And in general, a new draft class, which will inject youth and athleticism and upside, even though Packers fans and national media will do everything in their power to crap on it, to look at it through the lens of the draft industrial complex. I, for one, am very excited about this draft class and was the moment it happened.
Yeah, well, I feel like everything, and this goes to I think you got to take this year and throw it in the trash can, honestly. I think that even the draft, right? It's like everybody's mad, everybody's pent up, everybody's frustrated about things outside of their control, including me, right? Everyone, right? And I think you got to take that with a grain of salt about the draft, because I agree with you. Twitter was a mess. Oh, my goodness. And, like, people getting in fights. Like, people saying that they know what's happening. Even like, take PFF out of it, because those guys are a bunch of tools. Right. But and I'm sorry, they just are. But I'm sorry. If I tell you you don't know anything and you don't agree that you don't know anything about the draft, I don't care if you've done an analysis. There are so many the road to glory of football is littered with idiots that said some guy wasn't going to be good in the draft, okay? So what it is.
True.
It is.
Very true. I know.
And
there are so many variables along the path of every single player.
Oh my God.
The NFL.
Human beings.
You know what I mean?
Human beings.
I know.
Are not statistically able to be analyzed. Interesting.
Well, the idea of not only the fact that they're humans, but you know, the idea that you've got trying to project where they are going to fit as far as scheme goes, as far as coaching staff goes, their teammates, what they are asked to do from play to play, how they think, okay, their locker room fit might be for the organization, et cetera. These are all considerations that very rarely, not always, not painting with the complete brush here, but most of the time get swept under the rug in the, oh, I've got some draft rankings. This guy was low, or I didn't really talk about this guy pre-draft, so it's a bad pick. That's the stuff that I just you can just completely dismiss.
Yeah.
As far as I'm
concerned, can dismiss all of it. It's all part of the entertainment complex of the NFL. And if you don't
see, but then that's see, I'm glad you said that, because that's a very important word, right? It is entertainment and it is fun. It should be fun. That where I kind of diverge from the rest of the folks, I guess, is when these guys get drafted and people automatically, I mean, it's like a trigger warning. Like they just are default to, well, this is not what I spent the last 3 months, quote unquote, studying, so it's bad. That's what blows my mind. It's like, just get on board. I thought the idea was to cheer and to root for your team. So get on board. These are the newest Packers. I'm excited to watch them.
We have completely devolved as a society into narcissism.
Yikes.
And coddling. Sure. Okay? And that is the truth. You don't want to buy it. The other thing, and I'm about to get in a crazy rant because, you know, I want to.
Oh, here we go.
I want to go back, okay? I want to go back to when Z got pulled over, okay? The amount of people, after I said the word white privilege, the amount of people on the comments, if you go back and look at that Z show, right? Z got pulled over.
I remember it well.
Okay. The amount of people that were like, there's no white privilege. There's no this, Corey. You're crazy. And they got mad at me. And I'm like, really? And the amount of people, like, it's upsetting. It's upsetting.
Oh, come on. You were going to go, and then you just dialed it back. I was ready for a rant. The people want a Corey rant, and you just deprive them. You just deprive them. You
it's upsetting.
It. You J.K. Scotted a Corey rant, man. That's just,
yeah, I did. Speaking of J.K. Scott, why did he suck so bad near the end of the season? Okay.
Hey, read the script. Oh. We're gonna get there.
What happened?
Relax.
Okay.
Let's talk about the offense.
No, but
first,
okay, Jordan Love. Wait. Before in the Jordan Love thing. So, what do you think, Nagler? Are we gonna play? Is Jordan Love? So the question on everyone's mind. Is Jordan Love going to be able to play a down in the NFL in 2020 for the 2021 season?
Are you asking, are they going to have a quote-unquote Jordan Love package and or a set number of plays for him as like a Taysom Hill light kind of thing?
No.
I think it's a distinct possibility.
Is he going to play? Is he going to get a chance to play?
No. I mean, straight up quarterback? Only if Aaron gets hurt.
Okay.
Please, come on.
Okay.
Come on. I don't care how bad Rodgers is.
Nagler, let's see how good I am. I'm going to try to make it in the trash can. Hold on.
Worst year. Oh, no.
I missed.
No.
I could have
said,
I could have said I made it, but I didn't want to lie.
But you're an honest Joe. I like it. All right, let's talk about the offense. This offense, this year, going into the second year of Matt LaFleur's system, it's all about being multiple. And you could tell from the draft selections. You can tell from the way they tried to utilize people throughout the year last year. The idea of more tight ends, more personnel groupings. Dusty's done some really good work on this, both on our site and some others. As far as how these personnel packages are going to be utilized, it's the thing I'm most excited for. I want to see less 5-4 wide stuff, less spread stuff. I want to see more condensed formations, more differing of personnel usage. Come in with those three tight ends and then spread them out. Make defensive coordinators second-guess themselves. Make linebackers or whoever the captain is on the defensive side of the ball think one thing and then have to react to something else. I am all for the evolution of the offense, and I think multiple, multiple, multiple is going to be the watchword in 2020.
I don't understand. How can you say the draft is bad, okay? How can anyone say the draft is bad? How can you say how can you even give a grade to the Packers? How can you? Somebody explain this to me, okay? I'm going to wait. Someone explain this to me, okay? Because there's people watching that aren't trolls and aren't egg avatars, right? And
Right.
I don't understand how you can look at this draft and go, it was terrible, because a bunch of stupid idiots that get paid to talk some junk said it was terrible because we didn't pick on their thing. Like, come on, man. Like.
All right. Hold up. Because this is a live show and there are events happening, transpiring in real time. I have to say this. Aaron Rodgers has finally posted something about the tumultuous times that we are in. And I want to read it from his Instagram. Aaron writes, and he has a picture from back in the day when they were clasping arms because of the anthem protests, etc. Aaron writes, a few years ago, we were criticized for locking arms in solidarity before the game. It has never been about an anthem or a flag. Not then, not now. Listen with an open heart. Let's educate ourselves and then turn word and thought into action. Hashtag wake up America. Hashtag it's time for change. Hashtag love over fear. Hashtag solidarity. Hashtag liberty and justice for all. Hashtag all. I think that's a good message for one Drew Brees today. That's it. That's just, you know, real time events happening in real time. Aaron Rodgers, QB1. Stating facts.
He only did
right
that
there.
On Instagram?
On Insta, yeah.
Oh, I was going to retweet it.
He's an Instagram guy. Although he did, tweet me this offseason for the first time in like 10 years. So that was nice. Nice to hear from Aaron. Always nice to hear from Aaron.
He added you too, didn't he?
He did indeed.
He replied to you.
And then
he's like, who are you, right? He did a
who are you
meme.
He was really nice.
He didn't DM you. He doesn't follow you. Come on. Quit lying.
I got the DM. I can show you. It's good stuff.
I don't believe you,
good
but
stuff.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Oh, wow. That, you really are a man of the times. That's good. Okay, so let's keep going on the offense.
I'm the reason that you're so good on Twitter is because I've been trolling you your whole life. I've been trolling you. You're like, I can deal with this.
So
these idiots.
True.
I deal with this moron all
it's
the time.
Like between you and fantasy football chat rooms, like in the early 2000s.
Yeah,
I'm armor plated.
Yeah, you're inoculated.
I can do it. I can handle it.
You're inoculated to hate.
I love it. Oh, hey, look at this. Someone being ignorant on the channel. It's good.
That's nice.
Lots of ignorance out there, Banky.
Yeah.
Let's keep talking offense, though, shall
okay.
we?
Yeah, I mean, wait, back Let's to the multiple about... sets, okay?
I'm all in.
I agree. I guess the thing that was very interesting about the draft is it was very clear that very few people really understood that LaFleur was going to really push Goody to make his mark, to make the team he wanted and to make the offense he wanted, right? And it's almost like, and I said this on Twitter, it's almost like we didn't believe Matt LaFleur when he told us what he wanted to do. Right. And we didn't actually look at Shanahan's offense. Right. That rolled over us in the playoffs. We didn't actually look at what that was and didn't take it seriously. And I say this as fans because myself, I did this. Right. We don't pivot very well. I think this whole crisis has shown how hard it is for people to pivot in general. Right. We don't like change as human beings. And it's very hard for us to pivot. Right. Crisis happens, it's hard for us to pivot. It's hard for us to pivot our minds. We keep going back to like, well, Mike McCarthy had this and blah, blah, blah. You know,
well,
even
I,
back to like
yes.
Brett Favre, right? It's like we're still making the offense for somebody else. And the best part about Matt LaFleur, the thing that I think I love the most about the dude right now is that he is an agent of change for the modern NFL. And that's critical for us.
Especially in Green Bay. I mean, I love what he's done so far, both on and off the field. And I agree with you. Something I mentioned earlier this offseason, shortly after the draft, where, you know, Packers fans, to your point, the idea of pivoting your expectations or pivoting what you think of when you think of the Packers offense, we have come so far from a decade, literally a decade of, okay, we're running 4-3-4, even sometimes 5 wide receiver sets to no. We're buttoning it up. We're going to run condensed formations. 1, maybe 2, possibly 3 wide receivers, but lots of tight ends, lots of running backs, etc. That is the new lens we have to look through. But I think Packers fans, it's not everybody, obviously, but I think most Packers fans, like you said, I definitely include myself in this column where, yeah, I got used to a decade of, well, we got to have a ton of wide receivers. We got to have a ton of talent at that position because we have 3, 4, 5 of them on the field all the time. Well, it ain't that offense anymore. Now, that is not to dismiss the idea that you can get by with just anybody at wide receiver. Although, I mean, the Packers certainly tried last year. But they have talent on this roster at wide receiver. I said it last year. I'm going to say it all year this year. People are going to get upset again. I can't wait for it. But they have the talent necessary at wide receiver to win a lot of football games in this league.
Yes.
And I don't doubt for a second that bringing on board Funchess is going to be something that is not forgotten about, but not talked about a lot during the season, because I don't think he's going to put up huge numbers. He's not going to be a fantasy darling. But it's the kind of thing that's the roster building where, is he an upgrade from Geronimo Allison? I don't doubt for a second that he is.
Got to be.
And that's the incremental, you know, kind of boosting of the talent level around the roster, not just these big swings for the fence. We're going to sign this huge free agent that everybody's heard of. It's just incrementally building your roster. Obviously, last year was a bit of an aberration because they had a ton of cap room and they needed a ton of help on the defensive side of the ball. So Gutekunst opened up the checkbook and made big changes. I don't think anybody should have ever felt that that was going to be the norm year after year. I think it was very much a very specific situation. But for the most part, I think Gutekunst has shown he is going to be a builder. He is going to build incrementally. And they were a game away from the Super Bowl. So it's hard to argue with his approach.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's really the thing that kind of blows my mind. It's like you can't – okay, we talk about games and we talk about what happens in a game, right? And so much about game strategy and where the score ends up and how lopsided or whatever it looks happens inside of the game. If you play that game again, it could be completely different, right? And so one of my biggest problems is the takeaway from the NFC Championship is that, oh, you know, we got blown out, they ran over us, blah, 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 right?
Right.
No, there were game day things that happened. We got to the NFC Championship, okay? So just take that with a grain of salt. That means that we were last year a premier NFC team in the league. So what
right,
is
no
that?
Doubt.
So
no
so
quest.
You could so no, take your personal emotions out of it, because trust me, I got my own personal emotions. So I got no time for yours. Okay, so take your personal emotions out of it and think for a second. All right, so. Do I really need to reach? And this is what you cut me off for, by the way, which was a brilliant thing, and now you can't cut me off during the draft, is like, I literally was saying this. I was like, you guys are reaching for that wide receiver, right? Everybody wanted to take a wide receiver. And if you look as the draft was unfolding, right, all these fools who have their grades, there was no one that we could really take that had the value that Goody and LaFleur wanted. And well, to me, it's like, you're telling me, okay? So I'm a complete moron, all right? At least I'm self-aware and know how much of a moron I am, okay? It's like, you're telling me that you know more than Brian Gutekunst, who I can never say his name, damn it. And
it's all right.
And
don't
Matt,
worry about
you
it.
Can say
don't let the haters get you down.
You know more than him or Matt LaFleur together that just went to the NFC Championship. Now people are going to be like, "Well, no, okay, no, no, no."
What
no,
an incredible
no, no.
retort.
No, okay. Oh. Shit frustrates me.
I love me a Banky rant. I do too, Kevin and Kyle. Thank you, buddy. Yeah. Thanks for watching from overseas. That's really, really appreciated. We're here for you guys, devoted Green Bay Packers fans. Worldwide, it's what we do. It's why we do what we do. Love you all. Thank you all for tuning in. Okay, let's keep going. We got some offense to talk about. We got Jay Sternberger. I said it earlier this offseason. I said it almost immediately after the season ended. No one wanted to listen to me, but I'm telling you again, and I'm saying this directly into the camera so I can clip it later, and I can tell all you fools when it happens that I was right, even though it's very not on brand for me. Jay Sternberger is going to ball out in 2020.
I want that to happen
His
so badly.
His ceiling is astronomical, and you people do not understand what a weapon they have. The potential, the athleticism, the difference maker, he is going to arrive in 2020.
I want
and
that.
That's all I have to say about that.
I want that to happen so badly, and here's my problem, okay, Nagler?
Okay.
Nagler. Right. Okay, you've been telling me. All right.
Yeah.
This is the, I'm gonna be the Twitter troll on you right now. All right, you've been telling me about Sternberger, and I'm waiting. I'm sitting here waiting by the phone, waiting
well,
for
was
you.
Hurt.
To...
The guy can't help that he got cheap shotted in training camp.
I'm waiting.
By a Texans player.
Here it is.
And then he got hurt again.
You may or may not know this reference, okay, Nagler? You may or may not. I'm waiting for Jay Sternberger. I'm waiting by the phone. I'm waiting for him to call me up and tell me I'm not alone. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
You know, I know you don't listen to my podcast, but he told me on his podcast when he had words with what's his name, Clowney from the Seahawks. You know, they had the tackle and he got up and jawed with him. And I asked, what did you say? And he said throughout the game leading up to that point, Clowney was saying, you suck, you're nothing, blah, 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 blah. And when he trucked him, he got up and said, if I suck, what does that make you? That's my boy. That's my guy. I love Jay Sternberger. And he is going to ball out in 2020. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Okay.
Let's keep her going. The backfield split on offense is going to be very compelling.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be very interesting. The drafting of A.J. Dillon, obviously a lot of chin scratching, head nodding and or saying no.
But I don't understand why. Like, I don't. This goes back to what I was saying about
It's a running back, and people don't think running backs should be drafted until the third day.
I understand. But here's what I don't understand. This goes back to what I was saying about trust in coach and the GM, right? We did a piss poor job on this show. All the beat writers, everybody did a piss poor job of explaining this offense to the fans. And we did not do a good job of taking coach at his word. And I do not want to do that again. I'm not going to be caught this season not taking coach Matt LaFleur at his word. And here's what I have to say about that. If he needs a running back, God damn it, we need a fucking running back, okay?
Well, I mean, it's okay. A lot to unpack there, but
dude, if you look at his highlights, he's good as hell. He's big.
Okay. College highlights don't mean anything.
I know, I agree. I agree with you. I agree with that sentiment.
But I will say, it's not so much like, is he going to be, a change of pace or the thunder to Aaron Jones's lightning? Yeah, absolutely. But it's also about guarding against the fact that both of their running backs, the two backs who did the most work for them last year, are entering the last years of their deal. And Gutekunst, like Ted before him, knows that he's got to guard against the fact that, I'm replacing you and you're out the door? No. But he knows that there's a decent chance that one of them, maybe even both of them, although I doubt it, at least one of them is going to be gone next year. And you've heard Matt talking about taking him at his word again and again and again, talk about how you need at least two, if not three backs in today's NFL. Enter A.J. Dillon. And I can understand people pushing back on the positional value, the idea that, taking a running back that early, blah, blah, blah. I get that argument, and I understand that's one way to go about it. But look, the Packers have gone down both roads, right? They took Brandon Jackson back in the day in the second round. Probably didn't live up to the quote-unquote expectations of a second-round pick. But he was a damn good player. Now, you go down a few more years, Eddie Lacy drops to the second round, who a lot of people thought was going to go in the first. He didn't, but the Packers felt the value was too good to pass up, and they drafted him. And Eddie was a fucking great player for the Packers for the first couple years, especially his second year when he was the main workhorse.
He was.
And if A.J. Dillon gives them prime Lacy, I'm all for it. I'm all in. And like that's just like two recent examples, but it's like, this idea that they blew it or it's a wasted pick, that's the I hate.
Well,
the young man get on the field and see what he's about first?
It is, yes. So I understand, and you do too, I know, that when you're looking at value and the way that things play out, I understand he is overvalued at that position. But if he's the guy and you need a running back and there's you go, you're going to reach on some people, right? Because nobody's – the value's not going to drop to you all the time exactly how you want it to play out, right? So you're going to have to reach for the people you need and for the people you don't need.
It's a fluid thing. God, thank you. Yes, 1,000,000,000%. The draft as it is happening in real time and unfolding before our eyes is a very – fluid beast. And everyone wants to make it this, well, if you should have just traded down, the value was like, okay, great. You're just going to, Jedi mind trick a fellow GM into giving you the spot you want? It doesn't work like that,
Well, and as soon as you start doing that, you telegraph what you want, right? There's part of that, right? Especially in a remote situation,
absolutely.
Right?
And then the word gets out.
Aaron,
so-and-so called about whatever.
Are you trading Dillon? Yeah. Or do you think you want Dillon? Yeah. I mean, there's a whole mind game thing that happens. I don't know. Again, I know we're trying to fill space, and I know I'm just hot air. But, can we just give people the benefit of the doubt for 2 seconds? Whatever happened to giving the people who have proven what they've done, right? I'm not asking you to give Mike Sherman the benefit of the doubt. I'm not asking you.
Sherman, come on in, run our draft.
Yeah.
That's not what we're saying.
I'm asking you to give the guy who didn't have a chance to put his stamp on the draft, to get with the guy who has had a chance to put his stamp on the draft, and let's see what they do. The whole three-year thing, okay, it's been compressed, so now it's like 2 years, right? But even like Rashawn Gary, I'm like, really? People look at Rashawn Gary and they think he's a bust? I don't get that. I don't get it at all. I'm like, what are your expectations?
I'll tell you what their expectations are. They were drafted 12. He was drafted 12th overall. So people automatically expect him to come in, wreck shop, be a Hall of Fame player the moment he steps on the football field. That is today's fandom. It's absurd, but that's how people operate.
It doesn't make any sense, though, because if a guy – it's all about where a guy ends up for you. It's not about what he does right away. And you got to – look at Aaron Rodgers, okay? Aaron Rodgers, to me, is the prototype. What other quarterback is going to get the time? Aaron, even Jordan Love, I don't think, is going to get the time, right? Because that
he's not going to get 3 years.
No, there's no way. There's no way.
Not in today's NFL.
And the
other thing
is, yeah.
Probably get two, though.
Maybe. I mean, I don't want to say something bad, but, like, dude, okay. I know Aaron Rodgers doesn't watch this show, and I'm not trying to hate on Aaron Rodgers, okay? But the reality of the NFL is that he's gotten injured almost every year in the last 5 years, okay? Would I rather have Jordan Love, the heir apparent, playing in his stead if he has to go down, or some backup mm-hmm. you never heard of that we've been trying and pushing in a square in a round hole for the last 3 years.
How dare you besmirch the name of Tim Boyle Laser Show?
I forgot his name.
That's how much I
cared about that. Yeah, TBLS is fun, but like, come on. Like, it's just I don't get people. It's like, have you watched the last 5 years? Like, have you watched football? Like, we're one play
Did you watch the extended experiment of Brett Hundley? I mean, do you want to go through that again? No. I'd much rather have a guy like Jordan Love who has all the tools, has all the upside. Let's develop him, and then let's try to make the transition. Now, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But I hella prefer this approach to, all right, we're going to squeeze every little bit out of Aaron Rodgers until the bitter end, and then, oh, by the way, now we're left with 30 years of barren wilderness at that position, like the Dolphins or whoever else, because we tried to ride every, like, possible square inch of Aaron Rodgers' talent till he was 47 years old, and now we're doomed to the 70s and 80s again.
Yep.
I would much rather have Jordan Love sit for a couple years, then take over and have a guy with all the physical tools that you cannot get in the second, third, or fourth round, and get a guy who will probably, at the bare minimum, keep you in contention from year to year. That's, you know, I understand that you and I, we're different beasts because we're older. We lived through the Randy Wrights. We lived through the David Whitehursts.
Oh, my God.
We lived through all that. You know what I mean? Like, we lived through
it. If this was before we even had Brett Favre, okay? So the season Brett Favre took over, this entire show would be about who is going to be the backup quarterback, okay? The entire show. We wouldn't talk about defense. We wouldn't talk about offense. We'd be like, hey, you know what? We got to get in the playoffs, so we need a quarterback. So
that's
who
it.
Do you think?
The 80s? Are you kidding me? The 80s? We appeared in the playoffs one time, and that was because it was a strike-shortened season. And they beat the Cardinals at Lambeau, and that was the greatest day of my young life.
Dude, I can go back.
That's how sad it was.
I can tell you all of my frustration, a lot of where I learned my frustration in life growing up, was the frustration that I felt knowing that the Packers would never make the playoffs in my lifetime.
Ever.
Like, that's how I thought. That's what I thought when I was a kid. I'd be like,
the idea.
I was like, why do I like this shitty team? Why did my grandpa pick this team?
But then that's the thing, though, because then you would watch the playoffs. I remember watching, like, the Cowboys and 49ers year after year after year in the playoffs, NFC Championship games, going to the Super Bowl and waxing whichever AFC patsy got in there and being like, wow, imagine that. Imagine cheering for a team that actually wins football games. Like, that was mind-blowing. And then the prospect of having a team that was in contention every year, like could possibly go to a Super Bowl, where you weren't just laughed off the face of the earth when it was mentioned that, you know, oh yeah, so-and-so can make a run. I mean, that's the prism through which we look at it. And that's, I understand that many people, especially in 2020 on the internet, a lot of people, hell, I interact with people on Twitter all the time who have only known Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers as their starters. I mean, come on.
Well, and you that's the thing. Think about
entitled town.
Think about that for a second, okay? Think about if Jordan, the thing about Jordan Love, right? It was the right time to make a move. Okay, you cannot dispute that. You do not want to wait till next year.
Oh, people try though.
They try, but just look at it. Look at it from 30,000 feet. Okay, look at it not as a Packer fan.
Right.
It was the right time to make a move. Was it the right move? Only time will tell. Right, because of the way it dropped, I totally agree with you on that. But imagine this: if in 3 years, so after we win the Super Bowl, the next 2 years, right? So we win the Super Bowl for 2 years. Aaron Rodgers is like, yo, I got three Super Bowls, peace. And we turn around that third year, Jordan Love takes a Super Bowl team, okay, to the Super Bowl as his third year in the NFL, or that would be his third year. So then he takes a team to the Super Bowl, okay? This is my wish fulfillment.
This is wish fulfillment right here. Yeah, this is Make-A-Wish with Corey Mankey.
Stop destroying my dream, Nigler. Okay, stop. Okay, so then.
That's what I do, man.
They keep the drive-thru. Okay, so then, check this out. So then, Jordan Love wins the Super Bowl in his third year, okay? Looking back, there will be no other team in history that had three Hall of Fame back-to-back quarterbacks ever in the history of the NFL.
Correct.
Okay, and now I can be the first person that ever said that, so I can be like the draft people who are like, oh, well, that guy's going to be a bust, and I was the first person to say they're going to be a bust.
No, remember, Emery read out the comment from our chat on draft night.
I said it
literally like 5-10 seconds after Jordan Love was drafted, three Hall of Fame quarterbacks in a row. I'm all in. I love it. Oh, I see. But now how do I go to the number two wide receiver position? Why not?
No, and that's the thing. Devontae Adams, okay. Okay, people literally love to look at our team and go, oh, you guys don't even have a wide receiver. What is going on? Why is Devontae Adams taken out of the equation on this? I don't understand that. I don't get it. The guy is baller. He is a baller. He has proven it. The last 2 years, he has been in the top five in wide receivers. What do you want from the guy? I don't understand.
Well, that's the thing. They don't have anyone along with Devontae. Like, they have, like, one of the top five wide receivers in the NFL, but it's not good enough.
Do you know who they have along with Devontae Adams?
Alan Lazard?
No.
Who is going to ball out in 2020? No.
They have Aaron Rodgers.
Who is going to ball out?
They have Aaron Rodgers. They have Aaron Jones, well, the best running back in football, but nobody wants to believe that. That's nice.
Yeah, I feel you.
Like, what? You have the best running back in football. You have the top three running back in football. You have a top five wide receiver. You have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL of all time, and you don't have any weapons? Come on, man. Brett Favre won a Super Bowl with no weapons.
I mean, that's what people forget, that 96 season when everybody went down. They went and got Andre Rison off the fucking scrap heap. I mean, remember? He was throwing to Don Beebe, for God's sakes, on Monday Night Football against the 49ers. Beebe went for like 200 yards or whatever. Like, everyone forgets the fact that, like, Brett wasn't exactly handed a full complete. You make it happen, man. That's why, look, I understand Rodgers had a boatload of talent around him earlier in his career. Ted did a very good job of always providing tons of talent. But let's fucking dispense with the idea that, oh, the Packers have let Aaron Rodgers down. Give me a break. You've got Devontae Adams, one of the best wide receivers in the league. Aaron Jones, one of the best running backs / weapons in the league. You've got David Bakhtiari, one of, if not the best left tackle in the league. stop talking about how the Packers have let Aaron Rodgers down. Give me a break. Oh, also, by the way, his passive-aggressive bullshit with his old head coach drove that head coach out of town, and now he got a brand new coach with a brand new system, which is all he ever wanted. Stop with the Packers have let Aaron Rodgers down. That's bullshit.
It is. And also, if you look at Aaron Rodgers' play, he does the best when he spreads the ball to a lot of different people, right? Like, if you look at even XLV, right? He threw a touchdown right to Tom Crabtree, people. Come on now.
Tom Crabtree, friend of show. Oh, and I have an alum in my texts here saying, Iowa State Cyclone, Alan Lazard. Please say it right. I apologize.
Okay, sorry.
I apologize. Iowa State Cyclone.
Also, is Touchdown Jesus coming back, by the way?
He is on the roster currently. We'll see if he makes the squad.
Is EQ coming back?
I know you love you some Kumaro. Yeah, EQ is back. What's interesting is that the NFL had, or one of the teams had proposed a rule whereby you could bring a guy back off of IR even if they weren't on the initial 53-man roster. That is the rule that kept EQ from coming back last year, but that rule was voted down. However, they did add another slash designation where you can now bring back three guys. So last year they brought back Sternberger.
If
they have to be on the initial 53-man roster.
Got it.
So if you make the 53 and then you get hurt during the year, you can be brought back after 8 weeks.
Gotcha.
So last year it was Raven Green and Jay Sternberger. Those two guys were brought back. This year, going forward, you can do it three times. So that's good. I like it because the NFL obviously is a game of attrition. Guys get hurt. I like the idea of bringing guys back. It's all good.
Well, and jump to the defense. I'm going to make the transition.
It's going to be a 2-hour show, Banky. We got to get going.
Nagler. Okay.
Banky.
I can mute you.
Banky.
I can make this happen.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Okay, look. Everyone, this is my problem with the defense, okay?
Oh boy, here we go.
No one.
Al, we're going to the defense now. We're going to the defense.
No one in life, okay, very few people, have the ability to have vision, okay? When you're hired as a coach in the NFL or a GM, you are hired to have vision and a strategy. It's not just about tactics, right? So much of what we're seeing on Twitter and social media and people talking a bunch of junk is you're looking at what you had, right? But the thing about a team and the thing about a young team, right, where we've historically the last decade, we've been one of the youngest teams in the NFL.
And one of the things
that gives you is potential. Potential.
Sweet word.
Okay? So.
Potential.
So when you have potential, you are actually putting the potential in your formula. Right. So when Matt LaFleur and Goody are looking at their roster, they're going, you know what? That guy's going to ascend. So they're putting all their ascension markers, right? They're going to ascend. Now they might be
Kingsley Kiki, if you will.
There you go. So everybody's going, well, we need a defense. We need a defense. Well, they're probably going, yeah, you're right.
We
need our defense to be better. But they're going to look for those guys that they see every day that we don't see every day because we don't get to see. After training camp's over, you don't really get to see guys play a lot. Even the press doesn't get a lot of open practice to see, like, the practice
Correct.
Squad and how well the play. Like, the only chance you get to see of tape of a guy like Kiki is what he puts on tape in a game.
Like the 4 or 5 snaps he gets in a regular season game. Couldn't agree more. Another guy who falls under that kind of umbrella is Kadar Holman. Holman looked like a player. I'm not going to say he looked great or whatever, because obviously he's a young guy, he's a later round pick, etc. But he has talent, and he absolutely flashed in training camp last year. And that's why I love camp, because you're there every day. You see guys either rise and fall, like they're day to day. Like, I love that. And for the exact reason you're talking about, during the season, you don't have that access. The press is allowed in to basically take attendance, and then they're kicked out. You know, training camp is so great because you get to see every single day how our guys progressing. You get to see development, at least a small sample size of it in the course of their career. But that's the stuff I love. And you look at a Kadar Holmey, you look at a Kingsley Keke. People talk about, well, they didn't sign Snacks. Well, they did sign a defensive lineman, which we should play that video soon. But, and it, like, they didn't bring back Tremont Williams. You know, I love Tremont. I know you
love
Tremont.
I love Tremont too, yeah.
But maybe they project Kadar, Shannon Sullivan, some of these guys are going to come up. Josh Jackson, maybe that can pick finally pays off. You know, there is talent there that they have to allow to come to the fore. And I do think that is a major component of what Brian's trying to do that doesn't get talked about a lot. It's not sexy. It doesn't make headlines. People want new. People want new toys. They want the shiny new wrapping that they can open up and go, oh, look at this XYZ talent that we can talk about. But speaking of talking about talent, I did want to play this video because Cody did such a great job on this Trayvon Hester video when the Packers signed him. We brought on Cody Rothkap because we needed a video guy. And Cody absolutely knocks it out of the park every time he touches anything. He's one of those behind-the-scenes people here at Cheesehead TV who never gets mentioned. You don't add him on Twitter, blah, 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 because he's not doing content, so to speak, but he is doing tons of video stuff. And so there hasn't been a whole lot of, quote-unquote, breaking news on the Packers beat since we brought Cody on board. But he did do this great Trayvon Hester video, so I wanted to show it here on Transplants. Al, roll it. Okay, and that second to last bit is the most important. Download the Cheesehead TV app because every time there is breaking Packers news, every time there is a major development, we are going to have new videos for you. We're going to have new stuff on the YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like and subscribe. Make sure you're downloading the app so you get all the latest goodness from Cheesehead TV, including Cody's great work.
We should have made and that look, song our intro.
You like that one?
I like that
we song. We still can. All right. Here's the thing. Hester is an underrated signing. Obviously, anybody who's watched Extra Cheese all offseason knows I was really pining for Snacks Harrison. But Hester's a definite upgrade over the likes of Tyler Lancaster. And that's not to denigrate or put down Lancaster, because I think for an undrafted guy, he has given them way more than they probably expected when they signed him. But Hester should help the run defense. And I know that's been a major complaint slash focus throughout the offseason. I'm not saying he's going to come in and dominate, but I do think he is going to be, again, as we were talking about earlier, when you're talking about a slight upgrade, a noticeable tick of a certain segment of the roster, Hester will come in and give them that little extra something along the defensive line that they certainly lacked last year. I don't think anyone would dispute the fact that they needed to get Kenny Clark some help, especially on early downs. I do think Hester will provide that. Not sitting here telling you he's going to be Aaron Donald reincarnated, but I do think that is an underrated signing from Brian Gutekunst.
I also think that Preston and Z have a chip on their shoulder about this run defense thing. They're sick of hearing this garbage all offseason.
Don't doubt that.
Okay, I don't even know them. But I imagine, based on their social, that they're just annoyed by all this, and a lot of that I think is the gelling of the defense, right? You don't have a new defensive coordinator, but bringing those two in, getting them worked out. I mean, you know, I don't know. I can't hate on the defense too much because the amount, the times, I know that last game, okay? Everybody puts the last game bad taste in their mouth, okay? But there were plenty of times that I watched the Packers last year where I was amazed at the way that we got to the quarterback and our ability to disrupt as a defense. And I don't think that's going to really change this year.
I don't either. And the thing is they were able to pin their ears back at times and get after the quarterback, affect the pocket, as coaches like to say. Now, you got to get them into second and third and long. And that means winning on first and second down. I do not think for a second that Mike Pettine, you know, is blind to this idea that, okay, teams are going to look at that. I know he kind of dismissed that during his availability a couple weeks ago, but teams are definitely going to look at the stuff Shanahan did in that game, the NFC Championship game, and say, okay, we're going to test your edge. We're going to test the outside. We're going to keep closed formations where we run a wide receiver on a jet sweep and see if you can stop it, because they couldn't during that game. That doesn't mean that they didn't do good work last year. I think, much like you just said, it wasn't just getting to the quarterback. It was also the tightening up in the red zone. It was their ability to create turnovers. They were very opportunistic. Those things are all great, and I do, much like yourself, expect them to continue, but you have to build on that, and you have to keep moving forward. And that's why I'm like, when I look at Mike Pettine, I wonder about his seat. How hot or warm is it? And I know he dismissed that during his availability. I know Matt has kind of swept that aside. But I have to think, if they had the same issues throughout 2020, that's not to say they come out of the gate and we're going to declare it a failure, blah, 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 even if they struggle early on. But if they have the same issues against the run, if they have the same issues allowing big plays, et cetera, throughout 2020, I have to think his seat gets a little hot.
Oh, for sure.
I mean,
here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? I firmly believe this because I understand some of the politics of workplace politics. I think Matt LaFleur was like, all right, if I take Pettine on, I've always got somebody I can throw to be
I've got a scapegoat.
I've got a scapegoat in case, right? And then if
I want to get my guy.
Exactly. So that gives me a couple more years, right? So, you know, I mean, there's some of that. Also, Pettine had a very good
definitely some of that.
Pettine has a very good reputation. He's done
100%.
Good work.
No
so
question about it.
I'm sure LaFleur wanted it for that, but I'm just saying there's gotta be some of that, right?
There's zero doubt that there's some of that. All right. We should get to blogosphere.
Hold on.
We're getting close to an hour.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. Fine.
All right. Hit it out.
Fine.
This week in the Packer blogosphere. Oh,
the music stopped.
This week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey Behnke, we're back. I had in this segment the launch of Cheesehead TV merch. You already put that up on the chat.
Merch, we got
show.
Merch, people. We got merch.
Why don't you tell the people about Cheesehead TV merch?
Merch, we got merch. If you look on the video, you can also go. So YouTube, after you get so many subscribers, YouTube allows a Teespring integration. So Teespring, I was researching it. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And I love the little shelf underneath, which is really
there
awesome.
It is on your screen.
So
look at that.
If you go to teespring.com, you don't even have to go there. You just go to any of our videos now on YouTube. We have a shelf underneath where it shows all of the stuff. So Brent Schoonover, we've teamed up with Brent Schoonover. Here, you see some diehard
Brent
stuff.
Brent is the man.
Brent has literally worked his ass off the last like month helping us make all the merch. There's some of his stuff on there that's amazing. Like he's got the Wisconsin shirt
that I wore
a while ago. He made up some really cool. He tried to do Jerry Rice fumbled, but Teespring wouldn't let him
because of the Jerry Rice trademark.
Yeah.
From Jerry Rice.
I'm like, really, bro? You fumbled. Like, you want to hide that from the world? I think that should be illegal, by the way. I'm gonna have my lawyers, my legal team look into that. But we've got merch. Look, we decided one of our problems with merch, I'll be honest, is like the fulfillment side. I always wanted to have like good stuff. I didn't want to have terrible stuff, and it takes so much time, and we weren't really like at a good volume, and then the fulfillment of it to ship it to people and the support. But this seemed pretty good. I'd watched a lot of unboxings on Teespring. Aaron and I kind of watched through some. We're gonna do an unboxing of our own merch. So our plan is we're gonna buy a lot of our merch, and then on the show we'll wear it and talk about it. And if there's anything we don't like, we're gonna stop having. So that's
it.
Kind of the plan. Like, oh, and so what we tried to do when you look at it is we threw a lot of things at it, but we really didn't just want it where we were putting some kind of logo on a shirt. I mean, in some ways we are with a lot of ball game and stuff like that. And sometimes like a simple thing is like the best thing to do. And that's what people want. So we tried to kind of encompass everything that people had been asking us for. There are no yellow footballs, so I might bring them back. They don't have them on, and no Packer mans yet, but you know, It's pretty cool. What's great about it is it shows up on the shelf on every video that we have. So if you ever need
every
to know where it
video.
Is, there it is. If you refresh
and
you're not seeing
now.
It, you'll see it. It's available right
order
now.
Order your Cheesehead TV merch as we speak.
We just launched it literally as the show started.
Like 5 minutes before the show started.
I was like, oh, yeah, we need to launch our merch. And it's all through YouTube. It's pretty cool.
I just want to remind people that given all that is going on in the world, and I saw someone earlier bitching about the fact that we were, quote, talking politics, even though we weren't talking politics. But I am going to talk about the world at large for a moment here, just because as Packers fans, part of our lineage, part of our history obviously involves Vince Lombardi. And Vince Lombardi was way ahead of his time, so far ahead of his time. And I love that Corey tweeted out this link from an interview with Dave Robinson, obviously a preeminent Lombardi Packer, who told this great story about Vince and the Packers, and Vince telling basically the board to go themselves, and he was going to run the team his way. Roll it out.
Vince was very good. He drafted me in the first round, which was very uncommon in 63 to draft a black person in the first round. And he had drafted Herb Adderley in the first round in 61. And so the rumors were that he had been questioned by the board of directors of people in town, why are you wasting draft choices and drafting black guys in the first round? Because no one's going to touch them until the third round. And Lombardi reportedly said, I don't draft by color here in Green Bay. Only colors we got in Green Bay are green and gold. I draft by blocking, can you block and tackle? And that's how I'm going to continue to do. So you guys control the finances, and I'm going to run this team my way. And that's it.
You guys control the finances. I'm going to run the team my way. This is 1961. He's doing this.
Also, the 19th. Okay.
Man.
Okay. First off,
we are lucky.
Yes.
We are lucky as Packers fans.
Dave Robinson is not only a legend, but a gem of a human being, by the way.
Amen.
A gem. The guy talks and it gives me chills. Like, I cried when I'm about to cry right now just listening to him. And like, right. Why, like, it just hit me. And it wasn't even like, you know, there are a lot of racial heroes in the world, you know, and Vince Lombardi is certainly one of them. But there's a lot of, you know, it's really hard to stand up and do the right thing when everyone else is doing it. It's very hard to do the right thing when no one else is doing it. And I know you guys don't want to talk about politics, but, you know, we've done a pretty good job over the last couple of years of trying to bring this stuff to the forefront. And I feel like a coward in some ways over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, because I was worried a little bit about people thinking my opinions were like whatever, and allowing my own politics or my own personal feelings about race or about the way the world is to affect the views on this show and the way that people thought. Well, fuck that. That's bullshit.
Word.
And that is not – it's not about polarization. It's about can you do the right – will you do the right thing when – it's all on the line. And the reason that the Vince Lombardi trophy to me is very, very special and why it will never change and why it can never change is not just because of Green Bay and not just because of his New York and the man himself, but what he represented in society, not just as a winner, but as a man and as a beautiful human being.
Couldn't agree more. Well stated, as always. Do you have any final thoughts for the folks at home, Corey? I know we got to wrap it up. And hey, I just want to say real quick, people are talking about, I've seen a bunch of comments already about, we would sit here for 2 hours, etc. One of the reasons we had to start the show early is because there is an 8 p.m. curfew in New York City. We have a couple of different LiveX staffers working on this show as we speak who have to be able to get home. They have to make their commute. So we would sit here all night and talk Packers if we could. Unfortunately, there are outside considerations conspiring against us.
Do you want to go through the social
we
have?
We have to take some I was just going to say we have to take some super
chats.
Yeah,
we can do that. So Sally is running that. And we can start with the first one, Sally. So Uncultured's got a ton of super chats. So Uncultured, thank you so much for the super chats.
He's a man.
I'm gonna start out with Thomas. Thomas, my rye whiskey old fashioned sour will take the Pepsi challenge against yours any day of the week, Binky. Okay, get your piece of crap old fashions out of here. There's only one old fashioned. Charlie Barron's does not know how to make an old fashioned. Okay, I'm just gonna call it out right now. Charlie Barron's old fashioned is garbage. Okay, next thing. All right, Joey the Jaguar. I wonder what Corey's thought will be on BJ Raji coming out of retirement. I have no thoughts. Next one.
Can't wait for it to happen.
How do we check out the new merch? Martin, it is in the shelf underneath the video. Thank you so much for your comments throughout the chat. Appreciate you. Nitsuj Nomil. Sorry.
Jitsu.
My buddy. Whoa, that's beautiful merch. LFG. Thank you, sir. Joey the Jaguar. On Wednesdays, we tailgate for Packer transplants. Okay, I want to see this. If you tailgate for Packer transplants, I'll buy you merch myself. But I need to see. I literally need to see. Okay. If you tailgate before the show.
I need to see the scheduled post, right?
And then I need to see like the grilling of the brats, right? And there's got to be a beer or an old fashioned or a Bloody Mary, one of the three. And if you've got all three, I might buy even more merch.
Got all those elements.
Yep.
Corey Banky will get your merch.
So here's the beginning. Uncultured, thank you for the super chat. He did a bunch of them. Where are the Packer transplant goblets, Banky? Anything for you, Uncultured. You tell me what you want, I'll make you. Brandy, if no fans, mix a bunch of Corey rants together and pump it into the stadium. I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Ooh, that's an idea there.
Just so you know, my goal in life is to basically finish whatever I'm doing, and then whatever the Packer season is, just live in Green Bay, and that's my goal in life. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it happen. But Justin, well, we now know the defense is showing up against the Saints this year. Up to Rodgers and LaFleur to hold up their end in that game. Yes, thank you for the super chat.
Word up to that, Justin.
Jim Jonas, thank you for the super chat. I can't believe I miss conversations like this. Glad you're back. I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment.
Is that a backhanded compliment? I think that's a bit of a backhanded compliment, but thank you, Jim. Thanks for the super chat. Very nice.
I don't know why your audio is weird now, but anyway, let's move on to the next one. Uncultured. I love being immortalized in the new intro. I almost feel like a big shot, and Banky, I carry the G, just not as good as he does. Well, I don't know about that, but thank you for the super chat. Uncultured, have you seen the Flemlo Raps YouTube vid about Lazard? It's so well done, worth the viewing. You've seen that?
I have not. I'll have to check it out.
Oh, your audio got all weird, so we might have to stop.
This is why I didn't want to use the other mic, Banky, because this happened during trivia.
Okay, well, we won't talk to Nagler anymore. Michael Regalado on Facebook. Thanks for watching on Facebook. I love how your thing just went out of focus. Jordan Love should not play Week 17, even if the game is meaningless, provided the Packers are headed to the playoffs. Okay. Okay. Paul, will the team's vibe carry through to this season?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think that it will. Chucky TMTV, thank you for the super chat. Nagler's getting off because his audio is all messed up. Speaking of Taysom Hill light, when we drafted Love, that's the first thing I thought. Hill was basically effective every time he had the ball last year. We should have kept him. Yeah, I kind of agree on the Taysom Hill thing. It's very interesting what happened with Taysom Hill and how he kind of he had an amazing season last year. Dave, transplant should have 30-second beer timeout so everyone can get a beer. Nagler, why don't you have that
in
the script?
I love this idea. That's a good idea.
Your mic works good now. Uncultured, watching the Packers, Vikings, MNF from 2000 on the NFL Network, Dennis Miller didn't get a fair shake in the booth. I liked his stuff. I disagree
so did I.
vehemently.
I totally loved him.
He was terrible.
We've had this argument before. I love Dennis Miller in the booth.
Terrible!
You get it.
Hey, guys.
So good!
He was terrible.
He was so good.
No, he wasn't. Okay, listen.
He was so good.
Do you know who was so good? I was watching. This was on NFL Network, okay?
Good boy.
I was watching when Jerry Rice fumbled, which was very unfortunate, but I was so okay. Here's the crazy thing, right? Pat Summerall and John Madden, inject it into my veins. I'm gonna take every Packer game that they ever called. It doesn't matter if we won or lost, I don't even care, right? And what was great is I knew it was the Jerry Rice fumble game, and I was so pissed at first, and then I was hearing Pat Summerall and John Madden talk.
Yep.
And like, yeah. I felt my stress just like leave my body. It's like yoga for me. It's like, right. Oh my God, it's like meditation. It's so beautiful. Like, why can't we have that all the time? It's like, I want that in my life. Why? How
the
come?
The only thing better than that is Jim and Max back in the day on the radio.
It's not
but
better.
For television, give me Pat and John. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Unculture. Brandy, what add-ons to the offense can we expect in year two?
Add-ons in the offense. Well, as we talked about at the start of the offensive segment of the show, lots of different multiple formations and or personnel groupings. I think you'll see less spread formation stuff, less 3-4-5 wide receiver, the stuff that Aaron Rodgers is quote-unquote comfortable with. And I think we're going to see a lot more of Matt LaFleur and or McVay and or Shanahan type stuff for the offense as far as condensed formations, different personnel usage, be lots of mixing and matching. That's what I expect.
Okay, Lucas, what makes the roster at ILB between Curtis Bolton and Ty Summers? Who makes the roster? Whew. Sorry.
I think Kamal Martin, as you say a little bit later in your comment here, I think Bolton probably has an edge over Ty Summers if, and this is a monster huge if, he comes back and hits the ground running and looks like he looked last summer prior to his injury. Because prior to that, I think he was on his way to finding a spot and maybe even playing time during the season. Ty Summers, love him as a special teamer. He has a lot of work to do as far as his run fits, his discipline in the open space. He saw a lot of missed tackles last summer. I would give the nod to Bolton, but that's only, and this is a huge if again, if he is right as rain, healthy, and hits the ground running and picks up where he left off prior to his injury last year.
Kyle, just want to say thank you for all you both do. Y'all make being stationed overseas easier.
That's so nice of you, man. Thank you.
Thank you for what you do. I don't do anything, but appreciate the sentiment. Attorney Cooper, would have rather had Patrick Queen on the field next year than Love on the bench holding papers.
But you won't say that in 10 years.
All
so
right.
My only, you know, that's great. Yeah, I completely agree. The idea that we would have loved to have this dynamic presence in the middle of the defense. Goodness knows it's been a long time since the Packers have seen that. But man, when Jordan Love is torching people in 3 years, you're not even care. You're gonna say roll out a seventh rounder or an undrafted free agent at middle linebacker. You won't care. Trust me.
I just want to make one comment. I really appreciate when people put their avatar picture in YouTube. So if you watch this show and you like and subscribe, so like Attorney Cooper, I love his like icon, right?
He's got a picture.
Like get a picture, people. Yeah. It's great. It's like it's great. Kyle had a picture too. All right. Speaking of someone not having a picture, but I appreciate the sentiment, is Tim on the super chat from the UK. I've missed you, Banky. Greetings from the UK. Go Pat, go. I miss you too, buddy.
They miss you, Banky.
No,
see?
It's not.
They miss you.
It's not.
I hear it all the time on Extra Cheese.
Uncultured. We need to get a voiceover guy to record himself saying Banky in a low movie trailer voice so they can put it in a button bar and drop it when he makes a good point. Do I ever make a good point?
No.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Next one.
Hi from the UK. This is from Nibs on Facebook. Thank you on Facebook.
Nibs.
Thanks, everybody on Facebook. We take comments from both Facebook and YouTube. Hi from the UK. Will Dylan be running them in from inside the 10? Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Yes, but probably not as much as Aaron Jones.
All right. Jeremy Gaines, thank you for the super chat. Rather take RBs in early rounds than pay them too much in free agency.
Aha. Aha.
Interesting. Like Martin, Cheesehead TV, do you think that Amos Savage are the answer at safety?
Yes, very much so. I think a big part of that is Savage continuing to develop. I think he was definitely hampered by that injury, especially when he came back. He was not the same player. But I do expect him to take a big jump in his second year. Big things ahead for both of those guys.
Marshall, thanks for the super chat. Relax. We're all in for a two-hour show, all gas, no breaks. Yeah.
That's what I was talking about. We would love to sit here for 2 hours, but we got people. We got a curfew. We got to get people rolling.
Here we go, baby.
But thank you for the sentiment. We really appreciate it.
Kat on Facebook, I love your avatar. Love me some kittens. I love me some cats. Who doesn't love a cat? They're great. Felids. Felids are one of the most amazing creatures on the earth. Can't tell you how much I've missed transplants. All right.
Well, we can't tell you how much
appreciate
we missed doing it.
Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Thanks for coming on and giving us a brief distraction from the chaos of our world right now. Missed Banky rants. Well, I got one that I've been holding in about J.K. Scott that I'm going to talk about the next show. All right. Son of Sparta. I guess I didn't get the memo when we all decided to kill each other. I know people who are going bankrupt because of looters. There was also a child stuck in building that .. Well, look, everybody needs to focus on being peaceful and focus on, you know, helping each other no matter what, right? No matter what you do, no matter what you believe in, we need to focus on whatever problem that we have in the world. We need to try to, you know, exercise our rights and allow others to exercise theirs.
Here, I'm going to add one thing to that, or maybe two things. Listen to people of color, because they have been ignored and or dismissed for far too long. You don't have to look any further than Drew Brees and his idiotic comments earlier today to know that everything Colin Kaepernick tried to do and all the subsequent peaceful demonstrations years ago absolutely bypassed some people, and they totally missed it. Try to listen. And the second one is, and this is all I'll say, I understand the rage. I get it. I understand it, and I am not dismissive of it. Yes, we should all help each other. Yes, we should absolutely try to be peaceful. But look, I look around the world, and I see a group of people who are pissed off. I understand it. I cannot walk in your shoes, but let me tell you, I understand the rage. I understand where you're coming from, and I want to help. That's all.
Well, and I'm, you know, the thing that I will say is that, you know, both Aaron and I, we don't have the ability to walk in other people's shoes, but, you know, we've been fans of this game for a long time, and it always is crazy to me that people are fans of football, and they don't actually take a step back and try to walk in the people that they're fans of shoes and how they got here. You know, some of the best stories out of training camp. One of the reasons I love training camp, I could care less about actually watching training camp, I'll be honest with you, but I love the atmosphere. I love the promise. I love the potential. I love where it's going to go. And one of our favorite things as Packer fans is the stories. You know, there's guys who were homeless and then they get in the NFL. There's guys who lost their parents, and any race, any color, any type of person, but it just surprises me that we're fans of these people and fans of these human beings, but we don't actually take a moment to understand what they've been through or what they're going through,
or to recognize their humanity.
Exactly.
You know, to me, it's about, you're talking about like training camp and whatever, but some of those things. You talk about being a fan of football. You talk about a metaphor for life and the ability to come together, people to come together from all different backgrounds, from everywhere, every type of upbringing and or situation. That's what makes football so amazing. The idea that there are 53 men in a locker room from completely different backgrounds who have very differing beliefs. Lord knows the Saints are going to go through some things this year, undoubtedly. But that idea that, okay, we are able to recognize our differences and still work together towards a common goal. If football teaches you nothing else, let it teach you that.
Last thing, thanks for the super chat, Andre. Hello from London, guys. London is 11 o'clock right now. Hope you guys are well and can't wait for August so you guys can return weekly. And Packerland, have faith in this team.
Perfect. Couldn't have said it better myself. I can't wait to be doing this show every week either, because then, you know, Banky can tell me what an idiot I am every single week.
Oh, and I will.
Oh, I know. You got anything else there, Banky?
No there, buddy. I'm glad your mic works, though.
Me too. That'll do it for this season of Packer Transplants, the off season anyway. We'd like to thank everyone who stopped by tonight to chat some Packers with us. That's why Corey and I are here. We are, and will always be, devoted to Packers fans worldwide.